Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. From Radio City, New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kurt Kelson, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, Al Kelly, Mary Schiff, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Varney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen.
You're great.
With national economy in the news, tonight we salute Wall Street and high finance. The star of our show has been saving for years and faces the future with hope.
That's right.
He's sure he's been saving all of Hope's jokes, and here he is, Milton Berle.
Take the sign down.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm starting off with a low. Thank you, Mr. Gallup, and good evening, Mr. Gallup. I shouldn't be so happy. I really shouldn't. I mean, I'm shocked at that introduction you gave me tonight. Literally and deeply shocked. I mean that sincerely. You saying that I, Milton Berle, I steal from Bob Hope? You don't understand. That's just high finance. I take a joke from Bob Hope. Eddie Cantor takes it from me. Jack Carson takes it from Cantor. I take it back from Carson. That's the way it operates. It's called corn exchange.
Corn exchange? Oh, Burr, you're hot tonight.
But not hot enough. I'd like to be hotter, but President Truman said only up to 68 degrees.
Oh, dynamite.
Mr. Gallup, did you hear that? I just got four laughs in a row.
Yes. They're all in the row your mother is in.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's jazzy. Mr. Gallup, for that, I really like to shake your hand, but I never touch fish on Tuesday. But here we are, Mr. Gallup, both bothering ourselves over pretty little insignificant piffle, and a lot of big things happened this week, you know. Governor Dewey threw his hat in the ring.
Yes, he's joined Stassen, Taft, Warren, and perhaps Eisenhower.
Yeah, the Republicans have so many hats in the ring, I understand they're taking out their national chairman and putting in a hat check girl. I could go on like this for seconds. But tonight, Mr. Gallup, we're discussing high finance. Mr. Gallup, you never had to worry about money, did you?
No, Burl. My father was a banker.
Your father?
Yes. Grand old gentleman. Had the same name as mine, Mr. Gallup.
Oh, yeah. That's a coincidence, isn't it? Your family always had money, eh?
Oh, yes. Father was continually bringing gunny sacks full of it home from the bank.
Yeah?
No one bothered to count it. We just looked in to see if the color was right.
What a father. Brought it home from the bank just like that.
Yes, dear old Dad. I still go up to see him on visiting days.
Visiting days. He was caught, eh?
Oh, there was the usual fuss, to-do, and cockamania.
Cockamania, yes.
And I must say, Dad acted like the perfect gentleman.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Even offered to return the empty gunny sacks. That was 30 years ago.
You mean he's still in jail?
Burl, we don't mention it. We merely explain that Dad went to see the picture at the music hall.
But how do you explain he's been gone for 30 years?
Long line.
Mr. Gallup, you're wonderful. When you tell a joke, you keep the audience in suspense. They don't know whether you're going to live long enough to finish it. So while the show is dying, let us deliver the death blow as we salute Wall Street and high finance. Wall Street, financial center of the world. Wall Street, home of the stockbroker whose long arms reach out to millions of people who would like to reach back and get their hands on him. But memories. Nearly beat you, Block, didn't I?
Memories. I'm only kidding about stockbrokers. One of the most beautiful friendships I ever had was with a stockbroker. It was many, many years ago. I had a little money to invest, and I remember that day that I opened the door to his office.
Pearl!
Hello, Mr. Gray.
Pearl, I'm going to make you a millionaire.
Yeah?
You know why?
Right.
Because I like you. I'm funny that way. I like someone, I like them. I like you.
Well, gee, thanks, Mr. Gray. Now, about that stock I wanted...
Oh, yes, that new company. What was the name again?
General Motors.
I didn't get it for you. General Motors can't last. I put your money into something solid.
Hmm?
Amalgamated Button Hooks.
Button Hooks?
Only $12 a share. My own brother couldn't get it for a penny less than 13. And you know why?
Why?
I don't like him.
Oh.
I like you.
Yeah?
I don't like many people, but you I like.
Yeah.
You're a likable type.
Hiya.
I like you.
Hiya. Well, a few weeks later, I was back in Mr. Gray's office.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations? The bottom's dropped out of Button Hooks. Everybody's selling.
Of course. They're selling them to you.
To me? Why?
Because I told them all how much I like you. Now they all like you. Bring more money?
Money?
We're buying more Button Hooks.
But Button Hooks?
You'll corner the Button Hook market.
But Button...
You'll have a monopoly.
But Button...
Millions of people who want to button their shoes will come running to you with their tongues hanging out.
But Button...
Hats off to Burl, the Button Hook King.
But... Me? Me, the king?
And you can thank me. You know why I did it?
Why?
Because I like you.
Gee, I don't know what to say.
Say you like me.
I like you.
I like you, too.
I like you, too.
Yeah, but I like you first.
No, I like you even before you said you like me.
How do you like that? I liked you even before I said I liked you, and that was even before you said you liked me.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Gray made me the Button Hook King. Then someone invented shoelaces, and like Michael, I was finished as a king. Except that I didn't have a princess to go back to. But Mr. Gray had faith. He never left Wall Street. The last time I saw him, he was still trading on the curb, and he said to me...
Pardon me, friend. Could I interest you in a couple of bushels of grain?
Gentlemen, to give you a better understanding of high finance, we have with us tonight one of Wall Street's most noted financial advisors. In simple terms, he will explain the stock market. He is none other than Mr. Felix Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Finster. Thank you, thank you. Mr. Finster, I understand that you've always been successful playing the stock market. Can you tell us about it very briefly?
Briefly?
Yes.
I'll do it quicker than you can say Jack Travis played in Forbes Spade because that's a salvo corner.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Finster. Tell us, how did you do it?
Well, first I took all my savings and bought some shares of 50 Glover Stillman. Now, I figured if I can invest that without taking the short end of the loan because that is my son for Pilvers, I have to give it back to Spade. We've got a combined several barrels of blues which I tried with dogs, and then I doubled my entire strip. I'm still on the leaf.
Comrades, Mr. Finster, tell us, have you had any experience with phony stocks and bonds?
What a coincidence.
Why?
You know, just last week, a man came into my office and said, Mr. Finster, would you be interested in 300 prison green of the stuff W and Havenstrom? Would I be interested in 300 prison green of the stuff W and the Havenstrom? Who wouldn't? And I said to him, if you dare to dry one slip of my investments for a thrill, I'll thrill your entire bracelet. Don't think of my own thoughts. And would you believe it?
Yeah.
To this day, that man sleeps in the living room.
Mr. Finster, what steps has the government taken to help investors who have been swindled?
Investors?
Yes.
If you feel like you've been given the well-known didn't snack, don't delay. Go at once to the Federal Bureau of Titanfall, tell me, fire. It's on the second floor of the Schmalman building. And you ask for a Miss Heffenbibble in the zoo driver department. You will find her very friendly. In fact, there are stories that she comes straight with us to the end of her. But later, she apologized to the whole office. Now, once Miss Huggenfrud has checked your strutterwatch, she will give you a pass to see Mr. Mahalalia.
Oh, Mahalalia.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is the man who has something very important to tell you.
What is it?
That you're in the wrong building.
Thank you, Mr. Finster. Thank you.
From New York to California, from Louisiana to Oregon, from city after city all over the country, eminent nose and throat specialists make this report. Listen.
We are convinced Philip Morris is definitely less irritating than any other leading cigarette. That's why in cases of irritation due to smoking, we suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, that's professional advice and good advice to every man or woman who smokes. Change to Philip Morris. Because the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. And after all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
The producer said cut.
Okay. Thank you.
I like the way his hand went down like that.
Thank you.
Stole my salary. That was the best things in life for free. Played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, what you played of it was swell. Really was. I just heard, Ray, that Petrillo may take all live musicians off the air. Well, as long as it's live musicians, this program has nothing to worry about. As we continue our salute to high finance, we present...
Financial Forum tonight. Financial Forum tonight. The question, should President Truman get his $40 billion from the general public, or should he get it back from General Myers?
Thank you. Now let us commence with questions from our audience. All right, let's start with this gentleman in the aisle with the black eye taking back the mink coat from his girl. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burl, I came here to thank you for all you've done for my business. Ever since you came on the air, my business has been terrific.
Really? What do you sell, radios?
No, stomach pumps.
Thank you. Gary Moore. Let us go on. All right, this young man with the red beard on his chin and the FBI man on his heels. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Miss Hush.
Miss Hush?
When I was born, my parents couldn't guess what I was.
Oh, I understand.
For a long time, they thought I was a baby.
Really?
Yeah, when I took my first two steps, they found out who I was.
Who are you?
The walking man.
All right, Martha. You had a question that has to do with money and finance.
I got plenty of questions about money. What's it to you, Nosy?
Well, I thought...
If you knew how to make an easy buck, you wouldn't tell me anyway.
Yeah, but that's
not... You
think
a guy with all your loot would let somebody else in on your racket?
Now, look,
Oh, sure, you made your loot, so the rest of the world could drop dead.
But I...
Well, you're so rich, you have to keep letting out your money belt.
No,
you're
wait
so rich, you can't tell where your pot leaves off and your gold begins.
Please.
Hey, your money's checkbook.
Let's try and control ourselves. Let's hear from the women in our audience. All right, this lady in the aisle cleaning chickens with duds. What is your name, madam?
Hello, Ruffini. I'm a homemaker.
See, and you have a question that has to do with money and finances.
Yeah, why is my husband so money mad? He holds onto a dollar so tight, Washington's hair is in an upsweep.
Your husband likes to make money?
For a while, he was in the used car business.
Used cars?
You hate a madman, Munt?
Yes.
He's Finagle and Feeney.
I see.
He advertised that he'd buy anything on wheels. One guy even drove in with a hearse.
A hearse? What could your husband do with a hearse?
Oh, he stole the motor, but he couldn't get rid of the body.
Mrs. Feeney, did your husband ever sell a car?
Last week, he sold a guy an old wreck.
An old wreck?
Yeah, I was halfway off the lot before they realized it was me.
Well, what other business deals did your husband get into?
Once he manufactured a combination bubble gum and freckle remover.
Combination bubble gum and freckle remover?
Yeah, when you peel the bubble gum off your face, it lifts the freckle with it.
And it worked?
He tried it on himself. He had a freckle on his nose, and the gum took it right off.
His freckle?
His nose.
I see. And what was his last business?
He went out and played the stock market. Money was burning a hole in his pocket.
What happened?
The fire must have spread. He came home without pants.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. And now, as a fitting conclusion to our forum tonight, let us hear from an expert on finance. He is that daring, fearless tower of financial strength, none other than the Wolf of Wall Street himself, Pierpont J. Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. This is indeed a most glorious and golden opportunity. I'm here to thank the many loyal and trusting investors who came to me with dreams of wealth and finally got it in the end.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell, do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
Mr. Featherfield, you're tired?
On the way here, I picked an olive up off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But, Mr. Featherfield, an olive isn't heavy.
This one had pimento in it.
Oh, that's different. You saw red. Mr. Featherfield, how did you start out on your brilliant career?
I started out as a plunger.
A plunger?
Yes. Then I quit the plumbing business.
Mr. Featherfield, I understand that you outsmarted Wall Street. You were the only one who wasn't affected by the crash of 29.
Yes.
How did you do it?
I went broke in 28.
Shrewd operator. Today, Mr. Featherfield, grain speculation is the big thing. Have you ever had anything to do with grain?
Yes, in my youthful days.
What grain?
Wild oats. Oh, I was a devil. It was one mad round of wine, women, and run, sheep, run.
You were happy then?
Ooh, ha! But it all came to a sad ending.
Sad ending.
Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday. That was the day that the market crashed.
No, that was the day I got married.
I see.
Don't misunderstand me, Mr. Burrell. My wife is the best investment I ever made.
She was?
Yes. When I married her, she was at 102, and now she's up to 240 and still getting fatter.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Now, here's our young singing star, Dick Barney, to sing.
I still get jealous when they look at you. I may not show it, but I do. It's more than I can bear when they start to stare. Yes, they think you're too good to be true. I still get jealous when we kiss goodnight. Unless you hold me extra tight. And dear, I know a secret you didn't know I knew. I still get jealous 'cause it pleases you. You didn't know I knew. I still get jealous 'cause it pleases you.
You know, speaking of finance, folks, Dick Barney is really making a fortune today since they... You are, too. I'm like, since they banned records. He's making personal appearances in jukeboxes. I'm just kidding, Dick. I'm giving you the needles. But while we're just... He's ad-libbing from the wings here. I will be on... You can be on with me next week. You can ad-lib with me. All right, because you're going to get them either. I don't know what you're saying either. Well, while we're discussing high finance tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you about the time that I was involved in one of the biggest financial deals of the century. It all started last winter. I had just come home from work, and my wife and I were... Hello, dear.
Hello, Milton.
Oh, darling, I'm frozen. Gee, I wish you'd let me dress the way that I want to.
Now, Milton, everyone says I have perfect taste.
I know, darling, but making me wear a Palm Beach suit just because it matches the snow. Gee, I've got goose pimples where even geese haven't got them. You're lucky. In just a few days, you'll be off of Florida on your annual trip.
No, Milton, I don't want to spend money. I want to make money. That's why Martha Harrison and I are going into business.
Business?
Yes, Sam and Martha are coming over to explain it to you.
Now, darling, don't do that. Go to Florida. I'll give you $200. Take $300 with you. You can stay a whole day at the Lord Tarleton Hotel. Oh, no. No, that knock. That's that corny Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha. Come in.
Hiya, Milton. On the way here, I said, wait till Milty hears about this business deal. He'll go for it like a dog for a mailman's leg. Isn't that what I said, Martha?
Yes.
The voice is a turtle. Sam, what's this business?
Milty, when people come to our house, what's the first thing they look forward to?
Going home. I mean, Sam, what's this business?
Why, Martha's famous homemade taffy apples on a stick. The girls are going to sell them.
Sell them? You can't give them away.
Yes.
Milty, Martha's taffy apples will cause a sensation. That's how Martha got me to marry her, feeding me those taffy apples. Didn't you, Martha?
Yes.
And she's never regretted it since, have you, Martha?
Yes.
Silly, our wives opening a store.
Milty, don't you worry. I'm going to manage the whole thing.
Sam, you?
Yes, ever since my chestnut stand failed, I've been itching to get back into business.
Oh, I see. And all I do is finance it, I suppose.
Just $500, Milty. Chicken feed to you.
Sam.
You can use the money I would have spent in Florida.
Go to Florida.
It can't miss.
Sam.
It will mean a new career for
me. Go to Florida.
Look at the publicity you'll get.
Sam.
I want to show people I have something.
Go to Florida.
Just sign these contracts and leases, Milty.
Sam.
Milton.
Go to Florida. All right. All right, I'll sign, but something tells me I'll regret this as long as I live.
Yes.
You got a flyer or two.
Good afternoon, sir. How many taffy apples? Oh, it's you, Milton.
Hello, dear. Look, it's been 6 weeks now, and you've only sold six of those taffy apples. All to me. I have to carry around a crowbar to get my mouth open.
Hiya, Milton. How do you like that big building that's going up next door?
Nice building.
Glad you like it. It's yours.
Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. Mine? So that's what the bank called me about this morning. $10,000 and I'm responsible. I signed all those papers.
We had to build it, Milty, to make room for your Big Bertha taffy-making machine.
My Big Bertha...
Only $60,000.
Yeah.
It makes a half million taffy apples a day. Come in here and see it.
Sam,
yeah,
I...
look at it.
Sam, what... what are they making there, an atomic bomb?
After all, Milty, we can't have Martha working her fingers to the bone making taffy apples by hand.
Sam, tear up those contracts. This'll light me up.
Where did you see the machine work, Milty? I think Martha's inside the machine now, oiling it. Are you in there, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, listen to me. Return the machine.
Oh, I can't wait to start the machine. It's this lever here. I just... push it.
Sam, don't push it. What are you doing? Sam, the machine's stopping. Stop it, Sam. Sign off the machine.
Okay.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Oh, some machine, huh, Milty? Martha? Martha?
Martha? Martha!
Imagine a half million taffy apples a day.
Sam, where's Martha?
If we make a half a cent an apple, we're in.
Sam, where's Martha?
The molasses goes in that chute there.
Sam, where's Martha?
The finished product comes out here.
Sam, where's Martha?
I'll push this lever and out come the taffy apples. Now watch.
Sam, where's Martha?
Look at these beautiful taffy apples. Wow, look at that big one with the taffy all over it. Oh, is that you, Martha?
Sam, I'm broke. Get some of my money back. Sell the building. Sell the machine.
We can't, Milty. I had to put up the building and machine as security for your apple orchards in Oregon.
I have apple orchards? How nice.
Why, sure. We save a tenth of a cent on every apple that way.
Oh, well, then it's worth it.
And listen to this, Milty.
What?
Oh, Martha.
Yes?
Have those deeds come in on Milton's forests in Minnesota?
Yes.
I have forests in Minnesota?
We're making our own sticks.
Sticks. Sam. Lovely, Sam. Adorable, Sam. Let's pull out of this.
Milty, a man in your position can't afford a bankruptcy.
Sam.
You're a public figure.
Sam.
You're a solid citizen. Gracious, kind, honest, trustworthy.
Sam.
You're a symbol of success. Handsome, devil-may-care, suave.
Sam.
You're a true-fisted leader, a fighter for the rights of man. Sam. And yet, with it all, you're generous, sweet, lovable.
Oh, Sam, you're terrible.
Well, good. Then it's okay to go ahead about Cuba.
Cuba? Well, what about Cuba?
We're contracting to buy their entire sugar output for the year.
Go to Florida. Sam, your secretary told me that you'd seen me.
Wait, Milty, I'm on the phone. Oh. Hello, Oregon.
All
right. Mr. Burrell's own fleet of trucks will pick up those apples.
My own fleet? Sam, will you do me a...
Hello? Hello, Cuba.
Cuba?
From now on, send the sugar in our own ships, the new Burrell line.
Burrell? Sam, will you do
what me... What is it, Milty? Something important.
Oh, no. I just happened to tell you they took away my furniture this morning.
Sorry to hear it, Milty, but I'm busy.
Sam, I don't know how to ask it.
What?
Well, Sam, look, they left me with just 4 cents. That's all I have in the world, 4 cents.
What do you want me to do, Milty?
Sam?
Yes?
Could I get one of our 5 cent taffy apples for 4 cents? Thank you. I'll be back in just a taffy. A jiffy. In the meantime...
Remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why.
First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating.
Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
This is your girlfriend, Milton, saying good night. See you next Tuesday. Good night, everyone.
This is Johnny Dandy signing now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station. Listen in Sunday night when Johnny presents Philip Morris Night with Horace Hite over the same network. Until then...
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show is written by Matt Hyken and Alan Newton. Mr. Frank Dallas says goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.